this via Zoom. We do have Administrator Olson in City Hall to meet the requirements, and this is being audio recorded. We have, as I said, Bart, Rob Fredrickson, Aaron Wilrit, Terry Parker, Marlis, our minute taker, Alderman Plocher, Alderman Peterson, Alderman Transier, and myself, all participating in the meeting today. So with that, I don't believe we have any citizens on the Zoom or in person, so I don't think we have any citizens' comments. So next item, we do have minutes for correction or approval from June 17th, 2020. Any comments or questions on those? Now, Bart, do we need to do roll call on all of these items?
Yes.
Okay. So a quick roll call. Peterson? Plocher?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
And myself, yes. Thank you. All right. Next item, new business, 2020-45 budget report, June 2020.
So the one thing I wanted to highlight that we covered last night at City Council, so there isn't really much of an update, at least with those numbers, is just that while income tax and use tax are up, I think 6% and 29% year over year, that is a statewide figure and not anything that our residents necessarily locally are causing. So those are per capita taxes that are distributed. And so the income tax, I mean, fluctuates wildly from month to month, from year to year, depending on corporations, filing deadlines and whatever the state is doing with enforcement and individual filing deadlines too. So, I mean, the 6%, it really isn't indicative of anything or, a broader trend. The 29% use tax increase is indicative, really, of the general move of the statewide population of consumers towards online sales taxes. So that just means that more people have been buying used cars, buying online items that are now subject to use tax. And so there was a little bit of a switch in use tax on January 1st of 2020 that was supposed to be modest in increase, going forward. And then there was a switch in the sourcing on July 1st, so we're 2 weeks into that. And then there will be another one on January 1st of 2021. But both the switches that occurred 2 weeks ago and the one that will occur 6 months from now, what they're going to do, we think, how the state is going to code it, is use tax will actually go down because less things will be subject to use tax and more things will be subject to either the non-home rule sales tax or the regular sales tax. So you'll see large increases in those, whatever is offset by a general downturn, obviously, and then a decrease of the use tax, so it'll be a movement from one line item to another. So so for now, the 29% really is just indicative of everybody buying a whole bunch of things online as opposed to in person. With that, I didn't see anything else in there that sparked any interest on my end, but I'm happy to answer any questions that people have.
Anybody have any questions or comments on that budget report?
Nope.
All right, that's informational for us, so we don't have to do any more action on that one. Next item, 2020-46, the treasurer's report for June 2020.
You had year-to-date revenues of $6,482,674 and year-to-date expenses through June of $4,213,854. As you may be aware, just like last month, the fund balance amounts are currently omitted. They will be reappearing next month. We'll have some preliminary figures for you, and then for the September meeting, they should be finalized, followed by the budget presentation in October.
Any questions or comments on that one? And as this moves to City Council, we need to do this as a roll again?
Yes.
Okay. Peterson?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Myself, yes. Okay, and if you don't mind, can we place that on consent? Thank you. Moving on, admin 2020-47, cash statement for May of 20.
This report is informational, as always. The city's cash balance is on the first page, and our investments are on the second page. I would mention that the current investment rates that we're earning on our CDs are 2.5% on the one from Sona Bank and the 1.62% from Western Alliance. We did buy some more CDs, but due to the fact the Fed's targeting zero right now for Fed funds rate, the best we can do is about 60 basis points. So those rates are going to go significantly down. But we will enjoy the higher yields while we have them before they mature.
All right. Any questions or comments on the cash statement? All right, that's informational, so that no action needed on that one. All right, our next item is the admin 2020-48 website report for June 2020.
As you can see from the report, we had a lot of visitors this month. As things started opening up, people started wondering what was available. We put out the restaurant guide. We put out lots of information on fireworks. We started up e-recycling. White goods pickup was also this month. We had a lot of social interaction with our police department, with birthday parades and other things going on throughout town. And then also our parks and recreation, their summer programming started. So it was just a very large month, and it reflects in the numbers that you can see. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them specifically. Feel free to ask.
Anybody have any questions on that? It's good to see that there's still a lot of engagement on that one. So, all right, again, informational. Thank you, Aaron. Next one, admin 2020-49. This is the fourth quarter budget review for fiscal year 2020.
Yeah, so what we were at on the cash basis at the end of April, April 30th, is shown in the charts. And then in my narrative, I kind of describe the audit accruals and where we're going to end up once the auditors come in and we get everything finalized for the fiscal year ending 2020. Long story short, fiscal year 20 finished very strong. Sales tax should be up about 5% year over year, which is great to see. Local use is up, or I'm sorry, non-home rule sales is up 2%. And local use had another monster year. I think it's going to be a year-over-year increase of about 15%. So the general fund, we initially budgeted a deficit of about $314,000. And in actuality, we should have a surplus of around $635,000. So that's almost $1 million of the good, which is very good to see. And fund balance, again, continues to increase, getting higher and higher each year. And this year, we should eclipse $7.5 million in the general fund. The other funds as well, water and sewer, did better than initially budgeted, as described in the report. And Parks and Rec as well, they had a tough go of it the last quarter of the year with COVID, and just by the very nature of their activities, it's obviously hard to social distance, but they were able to control expenditures as well, and they'll actually end up right on their budgeted deficit amount of roughly like $204,000. So that's really just a quick summation of where we are at the end of fiscal year 20. Like I said, the auditors will be in next week. We'll have final numbers for you next month, and then, of course, the presentation in October. So if there's any questions, be happy to answer them.
No questions or comments. That's good. Numbers are looking pretty good, even with COVID impacting that quarter. This will move to City Council, so we'll do a quick roll. Does anybody want this on consent, or would you want it on regular committee report? Any preference?
I would say because it's good news, put it on the committee report.
Yeah. All right. So we will be moving that to committee. So Peterson?
Yes.
Locher?
Yes.
Transier? And myself, yes. All right, thank you very much. Next item, admin 2020-50, fiscal year 2020 budget amendment, downtown TIF number 2.
Again, this is part of our annual audit process where we review funds that went over during the fiscal year, just due to things that popped up. This year, I am happy to report that all funds in the city, particularly the operating funds and all the operating departments, are under budget. The one loan exception, the one loan fund that did go over budget was the downtown TIF 2 fund. The incentive agreement that the city entered into this past fall with KCJ Restoration for the old jail. So we made some TIF incentive payouts to cause the budget to go over by $47,000. What I'd like to do is correct this so we don't get dinged by the auditors due to the fact that this incentive agreement wasn't formulated during the budget process. It's just something that came up organically throughout the fiscal year. So there's a budget amendment attached for your review and consideration, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments? I mean, this makes sense to help us with the audit. So, any issues with that? Again, we'll do a roll call and move this to the committee report. So, Peterson?
Yes.
Locher?
Yes.
Ranzier?
Yes.
And myself, yes. Okay. Moving on, next item, 2020-51, ordinance amending the city code regarding contracts and purchases, phase two.
Thank you. So this item was last discussed at the city council on May 26th, where the council approved the addition to the surplus and cooperative purchasing sections, and then we removed the business registration language. The intent to revise this code is to maintain an open, fair, and transparent procurement process. The changes summarized are we changed the title to reflect procurement, as that encompasses all sourcing activities, negotiation, and strategic selection of goods and services. We removed some repetitive language that can be found in the Illinois Municipal Code, and then we updated titles to be uniform with the entire code. We did remove some procedural language that will be found in the Procurement Policies and Procedures Manual that is under development that will be coming back to the committee later this year. I did include a fully redlined code with these changes. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions or comments? There's a lot of red lines in this, as it's a large piece that we're dealing with. That's why it's broken up into a couple of pieces here, or a few, I should say. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on this? I know we've been talking about this for several months now. And this is consistent, real quick, I see you there, Dan, this is consistent with what Oswego has, so that we will be...
That is correct, yes.
...the same. So
yes.
That,
yep. Yeah, okay. And the level in spending is still stayed at $25,000. So the current procurement process will not change. This is just cleaning up the code a little bit to provide some transparency for the public and our future potential vendors.
All right, Dan?
That's what I was gonna ask about cleaning it up, purpose for it, and is it gonna make what you're trying to accomplish doing this easier?
Yes.
Yes, it makes it easier, falls in line with our partnership with Oswego, and just a lot of cleanup.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on this one? All right. We'll move this one to the committee report. Roll call. Peterson?
Yes.
Locher?
Yes.
Ranzier?
Yes.
And myself, yes. All right. Next slide. Admin 2020-37 School District Intergovernmental Agreement.
So my update is that I have not spoken with the school district since the last meeting about whether they would be interested in initiating discussions for an intergovernmental agreement. But the school district has notified us that they intend to not allow any programming in their facilities for the fall due to the pandemic. So that is something that they are doing across the board. It is not related to us per se. And we are trying to figure out one, if that is negotiable in any way, if there's a way that we can either, you know, cover cleaning costs ourselves or do the cleaning, or if this is just, you know, something they're doing from a risk management perspective, and, you know, operationally they can't really consider otherwise. So Tim Evans is in the process of having that conversation. And then he is also discussing with the park board whether they want to try to find an alternate facility, work with one of the Christian high schools in the area, or any of the other facilities that has a basketball court. So that is something the park board will be discussing at tomorrow's meeting, actually. And so we should have an update on what they want to do next month. The budget impact of that is pretty severe because the basketball season in the fall and into the winter is going to be one of our highest revenue generators. So similar to what we were staring at with baseball season, depending on what occurs, you know, that could be a loss of a couple hundred thousand dollars in revenue, so in net revenue. So so we'll see what happens there, but that is something that they are taking a look at now.
All right, thank you for that. Anybody have any comments or questions on the process or the status? Dan?
Did the public schools charge the city fees to use their basketball courts?
Can they or did they?
Did they?
Did they? I don't believe so. There was some discussion as to when we broke or didn't renew the intergovernmental agreement several years ago that they were going to charge us quite a large fee, and then they backed off on that. So I think it's still being provided free of charge.
Do you expect that same type of courtesy from a parochial private school?
Maybe, yeah. Especially if it's temporary. I mean, if it's, you know, if there's ways that we can mitigate their burden in providing the operations. Yeah, there's a couple that we have pretty good relationships with that might consider it. So whether they will agree to it in final is a different story, but not out of the question.
All right. Yeah, hopefully we can still pursue this. I know it would be beneficial to get something on paper again. I know we provide crossing guard services. We provide security through police officers for sports activities and other events, as well as the school resource officers. So we do have a lot of services. So it would be nice to have some type of a written agreement in place again. So hopefully we can have these discussions and continue this. All right. We'll bring that back next month. Hopefully we have a little bit of an update more, but thank you for that, Mark. All right, next item. Amendment 2020-39, governing ordinance discussion of review and changes.
So,
go ahead, Mark.
I wanted to throw one thing on the table for consideration. So my overarching comment is the city council is free to govern and conduct themselves as they wish. So I don't really have any comments about the meat of the changes, or most of the changes. The one thing that I did notice from having gone back and forth on different governing ordinances over the years was the concept of calling the special meeting is ingrained in the state statute, and so that's why you see it in our different ordinances we have, and it's still in this one, and that is that the mayor can call a special city council meeting and set the agenda, and any three aldermen can call a special meeting and set the city council agenda for that meeting. And so we used to have a governing ordinance probably 12 years ago that allowed the mayor to set or to add things to a city council agenda, but it didn't allow three aldermen to add things to a city council agenda. So it was silent, and the mayor at the time had used that to say three aldermen could not add something to a city council agenda, even though they had the state statute ability to call a city council meeting and then put that on the agenda. And so I don't know if this was intentional or an oversight. So the proposal that's on there, it talks about setting the city council agenda as either being direction from a committee, which is fine, and then any three aldermen, which is fine, that's in state statute, and then it's the mayor but with the consent of one of the chairpersons. And so that would be a restriction on the state statute authority of the mayor to be able to add things on an agenda. And in theory, again, if everybody agrees to conduct themselves that way, it's fine, but it would be a restriction sort of like we had 12 years ago, but with the other way with the aldermen. So that's the only thing I wanted to make sure I raised so that we weren't getting into a conversation about state statute roles and responsibilities, because we've had that conversation over the years a few times. So with that being said, I'll be quiet and listen.
On that one, if it creates a conflict, obviously we don't want to have conflicts that can create problems down the road. So if that is something that could be eliminated, it was a thought of checks and balances, but if it's one that will potentially have a negative, we definitely don't want to get into that, because if the statute is such that it's explicit, then we probably defer to that. And I know a lot of what we put into our ordinances are repetitive of the state statute.
Sure.
Because not many people read the state statute.
And my standing caveat with all that is anything is legal until we get sued or there's a discussion and a disagreement, and then it's, you know, back to state statute. So if the mayor is fine with that being restricted and doesn't raise that issue, then it's free to move forward. I just, you know, if he says yes and then changes his mind, in Kathy's opinion, he'd be able to force that change to revert. So.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on the red line, Dan?
Have any issues like this come up in the last 15 years where the city council and the mayor couldn't agree to hold a special meeting, or one tried and the others said no?
I have more good stories about that than I would care to, you know, to admit or discuss, or that I wish would ever happen in my career. So yes, it has happened. We've had a fair amount of, discourse and conflict related to agenda creation, meeting creation over the past two decades, as a result of just a myriad of issues with growth and, you know, community discussions. So yes, it has occurred, not frequently, more in patches, but multiple times, yes.
Thank you.
And this would eliminate that, is that what you're saying, so that there isn't a conflict?
So, I don't think I'm saying that. The proposal to lay out who can put what on an agenda, how an agenda gets created, how meetings are called, who has to go to the meetings, how you get paid for those meetings, are either directly but vaguely set out in state statute and then case law, or kind of implicitly understood among people who study the Illinois Municipal Code. And so the reason you would have this type of an ordinance, procedural or governing ordinance, is to just make it clear and to cut that discussion off at the knees if it occurs, and we end up having long parliamentary discussions during times of conflict. So some of which that's proposed in the ordinance is just a clarification of state law, so it makes it easier for us to reference, and some of which is either tweaks, additions, or changes to what is kind of the base level of the state law. So Dan's question was, I think, do we need to do some of this? Has this ever been an issue in the past? And my answer was yes, it has been. And that's why we created the procedural ordinance and the governing ordinance, to just kind of streamline that discussion.
Okay.
There are some here who have seen different versions of this, some that were upwards of 20 pages of rhetoric that really served very little purpose at times. A lot of rules that I think most of us would agree we could do without. Simpler is better, and in my time on the council in the past 9 years, some things, yes, some clarification is beneficial at times. And there are always things that can be tweaked and made more efficient and clear. So hopefully that's kind of what this is working towards, is to dealing with some of those things. Some of these we haven't had issues with, which have been fortunate, but there have been in past, like Bart said, some issues with some of them. So that's kind of where these are coming out of. This has been something I started tweaking working on several years ago. As I know, we had some issues. Some of them have actually gone away. We haven't had issues with citizen comments. I mean, that was something that we would have people go on for an hour at a time. But we've not had that, fortunately. I think our process has not been too bad for people to have their ability to speak. So, if anybody has any comments, we can continue through, or if you want to move this for discussion at the council, it's up to the committee.
No comment. Yeah, Joe is too quiet down there. He lived through some of it. Not all of it was there when you were there, Joe, but yeah, those were a couple of the stories.
Let's sneak this one on consent agenda.
All right, we got a motion.
I think it would be beneficial for the other aldermen to weigh on this. I really do. So council-wide discussion would probably help us.
So if we want to move this out, and one of the items that we have in here for a point of discussion, one I'll bring up is, there's been kind of a process where the thought was that an item doesn't come out of committee unless it has either a positive motion to move forward or it dies in committee. And this one kind of explains and clarifies that if something comes out of committee, it's coming out with a positive recommendation. Now, that's kind of what the process of the committee would be for, is if it's something that the committee agrees on, it moves out. You know, now, if we want to have it where there's a way to move it out for discussion only to the committee or to the council, that's doable. That's kind of what we're talking about right here. Do we want to take it out for just discussion? But I think what it is beneficial is if the committee makes a recommendation to move it out. You know, if we say it's moving out for approval, then it is truly just, it's going out there. There's a motion prepared for it as compared to a first read type of a situation. Because I know that's what we have out on city council. Some items do have first read requirements. But I think it is beneficial for the committee to actually take action and whether make a positive recommendation or keep it in committee or let it die. So, but with that kind of little sidebar there, we don't have that procedure or process in place. So if we want to move it out and just have a discussion, I think that's not a bad thing at the moment.
I'll defer to you, Mr. Chairman, whatever you think is
good. All right. Joe, Mason, you guys have any thoughts, or just take it out and we'll discuss it on the admin agenda?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. If any of you want to hear the stories, I'm more than happy to tell you off the record.
After the meeting, off the record.
I'm okay with that.
So with that, to move this forward to City Council admin agenda, we'll do a quick roll again. Peterson?
Yes.
Blocher?
Yes.
Granzier?
Yes.
And myself, yes. Okay. Move that to the admin. Okay, thank you. And then, okay, that's it. Any additional business from anybody? None. All right, hearing none, we can adjourn at 6:30. Thank you.